Lynn gives up a solo home run in the bottom of the Corona. Lance Lynn gives up a solo home run in the bottom of the first inning to Yasmani Grandal. He walks him later in the game. Other than that, he's pitching lights out baseball. I go into the game, go, the Cardinals are facing Kershaw, and it's very obvious that Kershaw, the best, is on his best right now.
He's got his stuff.
There's nothing we can do about this. So I'm not even getting mad. Like, I'm looking at his like pitch count selections and the speeds and the breaks on the balls he's throwing. It's just like, how are you supposed to do anything with that? Whatever. And also, he's doing it very efficiently. Because he's only, I'm like in the sixth, seventh inning, I'm going, he's going to pitch a complete game. He's averaging like 10 pitches an inning right now. They're not going to take this game away from him. And then,
when did that set in for you?
That set in around inning seven. Because they had a situation in the sixth where somehow they got a double. I just remember looking up and seeing a guy. Like, I was focusing on the hockey game at that point, actually. And it's like, I look up and going, the Cardinals got a base runner? Wait, what? Like,
the hockey game was good.
Yes, it was good.
Game seven.
Boring watching Ottawa play hockey, but it's gutting it out.
Mm-hmm.
But so then they get to the ninth inning, in the seventh inning, I'm like, they're screwed. They're not going to have a better chance of looking at the lineups going through. And then to lead off the ninth inning, Randall Grichuk, the only Cardinals active player I have any type of jersey of like that, just a little t-shirt jersey, Randall Grichuk, starts off with a single. Next batter was, I think it was in the nine hole, I think, for that, for the pitch hit with. Hits a ground ball to first base, and Grichuk's able to advance to second. Kershaw makes one mistake. Again, this is how good baseball players are, and how important it is that if you make a mistake, you will pay for it. Like, Lance Lynn missed one pitch all day, and Yasmani Grandal drove it over the center field wall. Kershaw throws a curveball just a little bit too far in, and with so much bite that when it's not getting caught, when it hits the ground, it takes a massive spin. Grichuk's already going to third, and he made the decision before he rounded third that he was going home, I think. And hustles out there, gets in there, and holy shit, we got ourselves a tie ball game. And then I forget the exact circumstances of how, because it was very, very late when that game ended. I remember taking a picture at like 2:04, and I was going to post it going, like, over under what time I get to bed. And I may have had a few drinks last night, shocker.
But no, that's what'll happen.
Let me
ask
you something.
Training will do to you.
Who walked Clayton Kershaw? Was it Lynn? I'm looking at the box score right now, and I see that Kershaw walked.
He might have, but yeah, it probably was Lynn.
That's so bad, man. Walking the pitcher.
Kershaw can hit a little, though. I mean, but it's kind of...
He can hit a little, but fuck.
Yeah, but other than that, yeah, no, I know what you're saying about that, but...
That was something. How about, let's move into the other sports topic right away that we were going to jump on.
LeBron?
No, not so much LeBron. We were talking, we came with the NFL made changes to their celebration policy, where now you can do snow angels, you can use the ball as a prop, it can't be lewd or profane,
you can't
pretend
you're like giving birth to or
shit. Can't be a gun.
Can't be a gun.
And I think it's still two pumps, not three, with the crotch. And
that shit's...
It's an arbitrary line, but I'm glad that line got pushed back, and it's a little more fun. The no fun league, you know what I mean? Kind of reeled it back.
They needed a little good PR after it came out how many fucking painkillers they were prescribing.
See,
they're like actively killing their players.
The thing with NFL celebrations I have is that it's not raw emotion. It's contrived. It's choreographed in the stuff that they're doing. They're not. It's like, you know, in baseball. You know, like, it's also, like, in baseball, when a guy does something, it can be very spontaneous because, wow, like, you're like we were, when I was watching the other night, we were talking about where there's also a time and place for celebrations. I don't mind. Like, when Kirk Gibson hits the home run off of Eckersley, it's one of the most iconic sports plays in history.
Yeah.
The pull the chain, like, that's okay. You think that you're in the moment there. Like, to an extent, I kind of defended Bautista, although, like, I just didn't like the way he, like...
That was an organic bat flip.
It was,
that game was so out of hand at that point. Like,
I can't.
It was cathartic.
I forgave him for it. I didn't have as much of an issue with it. But the problem with the NFL is that these guys are going to do this. There's nothing that pisses me off worse than the guy who your team is down by three touchdowns in the fourth quarter, who breaks one and then has the obligatory first down marker. Also kind of kills me. Like, I understand if you make like a Keyshawn Johnson type like 3rd and 16 where you toe the sidelines type catch. You know, you get a little pumped up, but you're not going to, you know, just stand and always have to point out there. It's the guy who catches the little freaking, you know, dump routes and then...
Jeremy Shock used to be the king of catching a 14-yard pass and then spiking the ball, taking off his helmet, losing 15 yards.
But, like,
oh, thanks, man.
I don't mind seeing, like, you know, when there's raw emotion behind those things, but dancing, I mean, at least you're not facing the opponents, but that's why I posted that clip of basketball the other day where... people think that this is – and I what this says to me is that the NFL wants this to go on there because they want it to have something to mask how shitty their product has actually gotten. And that'll maybe get some people entertained. Like, that's the whole thing that happened with baseball where, you know, like the whole make it fun again. Like, oh, like people are so like, you know, like they want to see – they won't consume games of football unless they're gambling or a fantasy on it. But when those videos go viral of crazy touchdown dances and celebrations, people will tune into them and watch them and maybe get a little more intrigued to see it live.
For sure.
Or kids growing up.
For sure. No, T.O. added a little something to the game by hiding a Sharpie and doing all that stuff. I think...
I don't know anyone who doesn't like celebrations. Except for
I don't...
Days.
It's not that I... like. It just depends on what exactly how far...
What you're celebrating
go.
And how
like,
what it means
the
scale
of
the game.
The team celebration, to an extent, like, you know, like, I grew up with, you know, the Dirty Bird, the Bob and Weave, you know,
yeah.
What we're going
the
on.
The Shuffle.
Yeah, I mean, those are... If you have just a little quick thing, like, that's one thing. But now, like, when people are going to take an inch to the mile, like, where it's going to just go a little bit more. Like, I was... let me ask you, when you guys play Sandlot football... and you caught a touchdown, what kind of reaction did you have? I was a spike the ball guy.
Spike the ball, I did the LT. I held it out and then popped it up, kind of.
So you and Corey,
you'd spike the guy. Ball, sometimes I just drop it.
Or you'd do the, you know.
Usually when I scored a touchdown on lot football, there was a fair amount of violence during the play.
Oh, for sure.
I was a hard runner.
That was the beauty of it.
I was a bigger guy at the time. My nickname was actually Wide Lightning. I would line up on the right side, and I was very good at catching the post pattern.
I got good hands.
I can imagine, Jimbo, you were probably kind of like the possession receiver, like the Wes Welker guy.
I mean, in high school, I was fucking backup quarterback until I was like, you know what, fuck this, I'm 5'7". You know, like, I'm not rolling out. I was scout team quarterback.
Are you 5'7"?
Yeah.
I feel like...
Let's do it.
I mean, yeah.
All right, let's pull him out.
I claim to be 5'7".
So if you're watching
now,
we have a ruler out, and you know we got either of you guys wearing shoes.
Fuck, Isaac.
You guys are about the same height. Jim might be an inch taller.
I feel
not an inch.
I feel bad. I sorted out. I said that you were 5'4", maybe because I'm sitting on a bar stool.
Jim is definitely not 5'4".
I crouch.
I my apologies on that. I didn't realize.
I have a bit terrible posture.
For some reason, for some reason, I actually felt like I was taller than you. That's a okay. We got a little derailed here, but you know, there's no rules
there
on this podcast. There are no rules.
How tall do you think I am?
Probably about 6'1".
No, I'm 5'11".
5'9". 5'10".
I can't tell.
I've got a big presence.
Carry yourself big.
Yeah. You're a bit girthy. We'll just say.
This has already gone off the rails. We're seven minutes in, and we've already whipped them out.
Okay, so that was just with the celebrations, but...
Schofield, do you believe in God? let me put it to you this way. Whether you do or don't believe in God, give me one succinct reason for why you do or don't.
I do believe in something that is a higher... that is higher than us. I think we have such a very minimal understanding of. I mean, think of the whole theory that where this universe, where did the universe come from? It didn't just so that if we're really getting that deep into it right now, I just have the whole resentment of God that I was raised. I was a confirmed Catholic. I was raised Catholic, and I was somebody who had questions in Sunday school. They don't like questions in the Catholic Church.
Like what kind of questions? Like,
I just think any
off?
A lot of organized religions kind of. To them, already have their shit sorted out. They're like, no, we know what we mean.
Why do we have
to
be naked when we read the Bible? Those are the kind of questions that Catholics really hate.
I actually was an altar boy, and here's the whole thing with that is that...
No, or yes?
No.
Okay,
right. But here's the thing is that, you know, like, that's like the old joke, like, you know, like, I wasn't molested, I was neglected. It was actually the joke that people would say.
The dirty altar boy trying to be, hey, yeah.
Like,
Father, why don't you look at
Mr. Garrison?
Like Mr. Garrison's
animalized him.
Yes.
But the altar boy that the priest I served under, so to speak, Father Carews, at his funeral, somebody came with allegations now. This guy used to always call me the name Morgan.
What?
He would always forget my name. He seemed to think he was pretty good with all the other altar boys' names and like my brother's names.
Do you think he was projecting?
I don't know if maybe he was interested in me, but he liked my family or something, and like maybe Morgan was the kid. I don't know. It's one of those things.
So there were allegations about him?
They were frivolous, where I think it was, you know, a priest just died. That's like,
I'm sure that happens more than, yeah. I'm sure there, I wonder what the percentage of allegations that are true are out of the actual total allegations. You know?
So are we ever going back to sports, or is this going to be?
We'll go there. I mean,
do believe in God.
I believe in something,
Jim.
I think there's something in charge.
We're all in agreement.
Yeah,
all right.
It's not complete nothing. Yeah, there's too much randomness, or you know,
there's too much randomness, but there's also too many things that make sense. I don't know if it's karmic. Or but there's other little things, callbacks, like it's a sitcom, but then have whether it's a word that you hear three times in a day that you haven't heard in a few weeks, or some just kind
us
of weird
Roger
shit
Moore
lining up.
The other day.
Us talking about Roger Moore and
killed
dying
Roger
the next
Moore,
day.
Dude, that's right. I didn't even think about that. The Bond. Oh my god. It was wow.
When's the last time you thought about Roger Moore before that?
Crazy fucking story like that. This and shit like this happens all the time.
Sorry, Roger.
Me and my buddies are driving. Yes, yes. Salute to shaken, not stirred. By the way, gosh, I'm a Sean Connery guy, but that's just
not stirred.
But the one of the crazy stories of that we were talking about in high school. We were on like a bone cruise back home, like in rural roads, and we were talking about somehow a story came up, and we were talking. We were from like a seventh grade technology teacher,
okay.
And we mentioned the guy by name. We mentioned about the guy said he didn't have a sense of smell. So everyone fucking stink when they would walk over to someone in the shop and rip the fart. We're thinking about that. Like, I mean, tell them it's terrible.
Well,
I kid you not.
Is it though?
I mean, well,
yeah, I guess so.
Well,
yeah,
no. I mean, like it's.
But at least you can't smell it.
You're very juvenile. But that's.
But it would be like if you had like a heightened sense of smell, it would be meaner. You know.
Well, it's mean to do it to anybody, really. But. We're driving like 5 miles down the road, and all of a sudden we're in the town apparently that he lived in, and we see a fucking sign like outside like a VFW type thing in loving memory of Warren Kuchenbecker, the guy we just were talking about that we had not mentioned in God knows how long. 5 miles later, while we're freaking down a bone cruise, we see a sign that says he just died.
Do you think
it's how weird is that?
Works mentally, as Kendrick Lamar would say, and you just kind of you create your own reality, and it's just kind of all. We all kind of carry our reality with us, and you know, when we're around, it's kind of like a middle ground.
Not having a metaphysical.
No. But do you think that you create things by thinking them?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. That's. I mean, are we really going here with this?
I just wanted to.
I feel like when you're at a bar and you reverse psychology your way into a girl, so to speak.
You play it off like a guy would in a romantic comedy where you're just like quirky. Hey, I'm sorry. I'm just.
What's your game?
What's my
game? We should have a game conversation.
Okay, game conversation? Okay.
You're saying show your cards. No, you're right. It's a basic. I walk up. I'm just there.
Well, I don't know.
Smiling,
why don't you talk about how they
smiling. If there's something happening that's worth bringing up in conversation, I bring it up. Smile, and then you're in there.
Why don't you talk about how I struck out and you ended up on third base with the same girl? You don't want to have this conversation?
I don't know.
Did you guys see each
respect.
No, not
no.
Okay.
No.
You know,
it was, I think that was more of a fact that I left the bar and then came back. That I feel like would have had an effect on me, and that had an effect on her.
I see. What I realize is that I'm not good at the. I don't know the approach. My best success has been when they're by themselves waiting for a drink, and you're by yourselves waiting for a drink. And it's not like you walk to the complete opposite. You don't make it seem unnatural, but sometimes you're just sitting there waiting for a drink, and a girl comes by herself to wait for a drink, and that's when you know. Obviously, you know, at this age of mine, you do the hand check to see that there's no, you know, really no jewelry.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I can tell you, Josh Land, I had a good piece of advice for me on that subject,
boy.
Though. But I'll see, like, you know, if they're, you know, they're, they seem interested in that, you know, if they have any attraction, you have to have your peripheral vision in check, and you'll see if they have any look at you, and then I'll find something on my surroundings, and I'll make a joke about it. Something that, you know, because what happens is it engages all of her senses. It engages her, you know, she has to look at it, she has to listen and all that. I mean, I've at least been told this when I told somebody that. That's been probably my best way to go.
What you said that like it can be boiled down to you gauge what's up and that's it. And like and it's people that don't care or don't acknowledge that line and are just out there, they're on a mission, fixed mindset of like, I'm gonna go out and do this, and then when that doesn't happen, it's sad. And then or it's just the people that go out there without expectations, like I'm gonna kinda adapt to whatever my spot in this room is, you know what I mean? And those are the people that like don't go in there with expectations or don't get upset when they're too married to an idea that they want to create, you know?
So I kind of use humor. I'm most effective in large groups. I'm also strikingly funny one-on-one. But I like to kind of gauge the reaction in a large group. And then towards the end of the night, maybe get her alone. Like, I'm, you know, Like, you've seen, like, an animal hunt.
Just some one-on-one action.
They separate him from the pack. You know, it's way easier.
And you, and it's just, you change the dynamic. I mean, I'm trying to make that, you know.
Well, so, my last girlfriend that I had, how this would work, which is also something that happens to me, too, probably, is I'm very loud. You know, like, when I'm out at the bar, I'm very animated.
Works
for
podcasting.
Very
loud. We appreciate it.
I'm very loud and animated. And generally, a lot of people around me are laughing a lot. So sometimes people overhear, like, well, who's this asshole who keeps yelling? And, but wait, everyone around him is having a good time. And then it makes them, you know, a little bit more, I want to know why he's such a good time thing. And, you know, then that becomes a potential for me. And that was actually how that worked, where I kind of, I rub people the wrong way at first sometimes like that. But it turns into, like, the Costanza at Seinfeld. You know, at first I hate it, but then all of a sudden, Costanza.
Yeah, Costanza.
What's an unorthodox part of a woman's body you enjoy?
What's unorthodox? Everything is, like, human. Like,
talking, like, we're getting away from, like, tits, ass, feet.
A belly button. I
like,
a
nice belly button.
A nice good belly button, you know.
Gym, feet.
Neck.
Where are we going? A neck. Okay.
Ooh. That plays into something I like to do. But, I mean, well, belly button was
neck, cheeks, you know?
I guess belly button was original,
face.
But, yeah, I mean, you can't have a short neck, I guess. But, you know, I like to, you know.
All
right. I don't know. I never thought about that.
I kind of like broad shoulders. Is that fucked?
No.
I like a woman with some substance. Like, I like to look at a girl and be like, oh, yeah, she can stand up to a real fucking, you know.
Yeah, actually.
I'm not going to break this one.
That's your thing.
Yeah. It's like when you go to a restaurant and there's, like, all different kinds of chairs. And you kind of give the chair the little push to see how rickety it is.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, if I sit down on this too hard.
You're looking for a sturdy woman.
Yes, a sturdy woman.
Well, I mean, generally, I'm going to go for, like, you know, ideally if someone could be shorter than me and more petite, because that way I can actually, you know, feel like a man, so to speak, as far as, like, you know, being able to, like, you know, like... You
don't ever let someone tell you you're not a man.
No, not that, but it's, like, someone that I can actually
pick. This is gone from podcast to
there. Someone who I can actually pick up, you know, and kind of, you know, like...
Like, physically lift off the ground.
Like, so, like, you know, like... You know, like,
understandable. Throw around, quote.
Yeah, throw away, quote. You know, like, I didn't want to say that because that could get what sound the wrong way and not, like, you know, throw around, like, you know...
We're not
going to
take that out of
no.
Yeah. No, I can't believe I'm actually censoring myself. You're better than that, Ryan.
I know what I meant when I said that,
yeah.
And I think that's what, like, going back to that podcast we did before, and it ended, we all had, I mean, mostly me, had questions like, ooh, was that really off color? Was that, but then it was just, yeah, you listen to it in context, and it's like, okay, it's, you know what, where our hearts are at here. We're good people.
We're not bad people.
I'm not a bad person.
The worst I ever got was a DUI. I probably should have gotten worse.
Got a kid somewhere.
Jim's working on his first DUI.
I'm working on one? Yeah. I'm out there. No, I'm not.
Yeah. Well, Jim actually got this.
For me.
You're one of the ones.
I work at a bar that shares a police or a parking lot with a police station.
Well, dude, as I
thought for sure we were going to get pulled over when we left the other night. So I was trying to get around.
We
leave
the bar every single night.
Well, I was trying to get around those police,
like,
cars.
I work here.
The cop was standing there. I was like, can I go this way? And he's like, yeah. I saw him staring at me. Like, got his car. It's like, oh, here we go. Then pull us over.
Jim, you're always welcome to crash on my couch, which, you're like, that's always just the thing, is that you get to see where the devil lays his head, so to speak. You know, like, was everything you expected to be? Or most people are actually kind of like, they think that they expect my place to be like a complete shithole or mess.
Oh, no. That was a nice home.
How low of an opinion do you think other people have of you?
It's when you party like I do, or when you live life like I do, I feel like that people expect to go home and just see a sink full of dishes and clothes. I mean, my bedroom is like,
hey,
full
yo,
of
no, that was
see,
an uncomfortable
I'm,
couch.
But
I'm
the other way, because if that was the case, you'd be a way bigger wreck. Like, I see you out in public, and I'm like, okay, there's got to be a end to the end.
Yeah, if you were a complete piece of,
like,
shit, you wouldn't be on this podcast.
Right. Like,
yeah.
I see you out in public, I'm like, okay, this guy is, like, you know, he's fucked, but, like, he's not, like, he's got his life somewhat together, so there's got to be something going on that's normal and so.
I'm self-critical, that's
bring
what
fire.
It,
hey.
But, yeah, I bring the A-game. So,
bring fire.
So now, do we segue back into the sports conversation?
No, I was just thinking about, like,
right.
I guess it would be a good time to touch on Celtics-Cavs. I mean, or if you want to, or if you just
want
to go.
I don't want to.
No, okay.
I had one more thing I wanted to get on with the NFL. It's one of my least favorite
okay,
things
yeah,
ever. They want to change the overtimes from 15 minutes to 10 minutes.
I'm in.
Bro, I think there should be no overtimes, kick out. You know how they do shootouts in hockey?
The kickers. Consider they're trying to phase the kicker out of the 35 game.
35-yard field goals until
are you saying because out. One long drive could kill the clock, and then it's one and so you get two for one possessions pretty much?
Here's my whole thing. I was already vehemently against the changes of overtime rules. because it really stemmed down to the Peyton Manning losing to the Chargers game. They don't in the playoffs where the Chargers got the ball and drove down the field and scored a touchdown. And like the idea that Peyton Manning never got the ball, and it's like, well, you're forgetting the fact that he had three drives.
Honestly, he had 60 minutes to get the
ball.
Yeah,
that's what the whole thing is. It goes down to is that I took a class in college philosophy of sports, and I'll never forget a lot of the stuff I learned in it.
Shout out to Cesar Torres.
Yes, yeah. Shout out to Cesar Torres. Exactly. The fucking a football game. The rule of the game. The object of the game is to score more points than the other team. And, within the rules of the game, you know, a game length is 60 minutes. If you have not scored the most points at the end of 60 minutes, you can't complain about what happened on there.
Right.
I don't even further on that. I've always had this idea that it's impossible. You know, special teams is the third phase of the game. You know, is it really so hard to ask a team? Like, Kittle just made something. It was a given. A team could just drive down there and kick a field goal, which
yeah.
was, you know, a whole thing. And it was, you mean the average starting field position, you know, being at the 25-yard line, you're letting, you know, a field goal kicker being able to kick a 50-yard field goal. It's
yeah.
not unreasonable to not ask my defense to give up 30 yards. Is that really bad?
I do think they got it right with the if they kick a field goal, the team has a chance to answer. If they kick
right.
score touchdowns over, I like that.
I don't because
you
look
know?
At what happens in that. Like, here's the tip point about overtime. It's meant to resolve ties. It's meant to resolve ties. You made it more
but then
ties have
here.
Picked up dramatically
I
since they changed this rule in there. And their whole justification to want to change this rule or like, you know, way of saying they can do it is that they're saying, oh, well, they would only win two games would have ended in ties in there. The point of overtime is to eliminate ties. So why are you fucking creating possibilities
well, hey,
for more of them?
No, because yeah, I'm with you, but I hear where you're coming from. I just when you
just,
flip a coin, you're at that point you're putting too much of a weight on the coin flip, whether it's head or tails. Like say you get heads and then you get a 15-yard penalty and then you gain 15 other yards and suddenly you're in field goal position. Whereas a touchdown is a better indicator of the better
here's
team.
Here's the best way to resolve it. They'll never go for it, but this is how we used to do it. We used to have playoffs like this in Pop Warner. But legitimately, we would show up for just these like you know these things. Called four down showdowns. You get the ball at the 20-yard line. They get the ball at the 20-yard line. Each run have a drive, offense, defense. Whoever gets more yards wins.
So you just say one.
And if you both score touchdowns in those four plays, you keep running
so
back
say,
like that.
You'd rather
like
say no matter what, you get one drive apiece.
College, don't even get me started on college overtime. It is a
fucking. Well, that's pretty much that idea, though.
I think it's thrilling.
You get one. What you just said. You both go. And then we'll see how far you get, and if you both score, but like you're just moving it back to your own 20-yard line. It's just maybe that's like a middle ground, but that's essentially what it is.
It becomes a way of both teams get the ball, both teams get a chance, and like you know, both we're eliminating the kicking games out of this, and you get a chance to you know, okay, our offense and our defense, not like you know, like the whole deal. You still it's still defended a certain way. You still call plays, and it makes coaches. I don't know. I think it would be interesting, but yeah,
okay.
What was?
I think I like that idea.
It would. They would never ever go for it, but
it's not a bad idea.
Remember when Peyton Manning defenders / supporters were that was one of their big things at the end of a season. Peyton Manning never got the ball in overtime.
Yeah, that was how I started off this. I think that's where I got so fired about it. But
oh.
It's just again like the product of the NFL. If I didn't gamble on it, I just would really not have as much interest. And that's why college football overtime I hate is because of the. The games change. I've had some of the worst beats of my life. Like, we're talking some, like, giant, like, payouts that would have happened on one. It's kind of when I grew to hate Andrew Luck, though, you know, that's a whole different story altogether. But,
Let's tell that story.
Let's get
okay.
into it.
Okay. I also think he's overrated.
Our buddy Andy Luck.
Our buddy Andy Luck. My story of Andy Luck starts off with, I never had seen him play yet, and everyone was going on about how great he was, and I just, whenever, like, there's these prospects that people talk about, they talk about how great they are and stuff, I'm like, is there some secret network that, like, is just constantly showing this guy doing what he does that I'm not aware of? His first game he plays was against Oregon in Eugene, and he went up early. They had a good lead. He threw one bad interception, and a big play happened. He took a hit. And then after that, they got boat raced. And I had bet a bunch of money on Oregon. I was, like, sweating, actually. He didn't give me that sweat factor. But then once Oregon got going, he like it was the fact that he couldn't trade any blows back. And that's when I kind of started taking notice of him. Another play, this is one that really kills me, that really sealed the deal. They were playing against USC. And USC was plus 7 points. I got them. They were going to close out a parlay that was going to pay me $800. Okay? Not exactly a small fee for, you know, a $400.
That's actual money.
You can do some things with that. So USC, they're down by 7. It's a tie game, and Stanford has the ball, and Andrew Luck throws a pick six. and fucking, like, you know, it was terrible. You know, the complete out route that he telegraphs gets run back the other way. Then he goes back and immediately marches them down the field with, like, a minute. And I'm just like, dude, like, if you had just done that the first time.
No, yeah.
It goes into the overtime.
Yeah.
It goes into the overtime.
That's who he is, though. That really sums it up. Like, he is the guy that will throw a pick and then tackle the guy, or throw a pick and then answer it. Throw four touchdowns, three picks.
I've just noticed he makes a lot of reckless decisions with the football. It kind of goes on.
I think the Colts suck, too. That's a fact. I'm with both of you guys. I think I'm like a half step. They suck entirely because of him.
I don't know, man. If you're supposed to be the second coming, shouldn't you, like...
Peyton Manning did better, right?
Yeah. He's played in two AFC title games, but they're so non-competitive, like...
I mean, he's the volatile guy where he could take you out of a game and get you back into it. He has that ability. He's not consistent.
The Chiefs game
down.
That nobody can forget?
I don't think he's bad.
And as far as things like that, like the Chiefs game, like if Robert Mathis doesn't have a strip sack fumble after he fucking threw another interception in the second half, like, it got away. And, like, even the whole, like, fumble play, I mean, there's – I'm not going to –
So how bad do you think he is? Where do you put Andrew Luck?
I don't think he's bad. That's the whole thing. I don't think he's bad. He's a top 10 quarterback.
Top 10?
I don't think – I think he's a top 10 quarterback.
Would you put him at 10?
I'm not going to rate the chart out right now at the top of my head.
Let's do a chart.
I mean, just kind of – I don't – maybe not.
I'll pull open Word and we can get our top 10.
I guess so.
Yeah,
I'm
sure.
I got a pen paper in here.
Well, I got Word open, so.
Okay.
All right, so number one.
Tom Brady.
I go Rodgers.
Okay. That's fair.
I mean, in any order. I mean,
right, whatever. You know,
let's just get
that's a conversation
so
in itself.
If you have Rodgers 1, you got Brady 2.
Yeah.
All right, so.
It's
okay,
the 1A would be tomato, tomato.
So Rodgers 1, Brady 2, whatever. 3.
I'll take Drew Brees still.
You take Drew Brees.
This is where it starts to get a little dicey because Roethlisberger would be the one I would normally put there, but he kind of doesn't he concerns me a little bit now.
He's a concerning guy.
Oh yeah, I'm
isn't
with you. He's
I used to
probably
have,
within the next two for me.
I used to have him in that one, but he's there. Again, I'm not in football mindset right now, so I'm trying to actually like scan through my head and actually
keep
remember.
In mind, we're talking for the upcoming season.
For the upcoming season,
this is who you think is the. Second best quarterback in the league.
Most productive quarterback.
For all
intents
and purposes.
Yep.
Third best. Sorry.
Who I think will be.
Matty Ice is in there.
Matt Ryan. That's a very
yeah,
good
I'm sorry. Throw Matt Ryan in at 3. Drew Brees at 4 for me.
Okay.
I just kind of start getting into where that I kind of feel like that, like with Luck, he's more in the Stafford thing. But the end of that whole story ended up turning into being the that Stanford, when overtime, you know, like if you keep scoring, eventually the third time you have to start going for 2. And Stanford was going for Stanford scores, goes for the 2, gets it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So then USC has it, and they are driving in there, and the guy fumbles on the 1-yard line as on his way into the end zone, and Stanford recovers, and I lose this giant bet. And also, if you have over-unders, like I've seen games that were 10-10, 13-13 with an over-under in the 60s, and then all of a sudden they go up and down each other on there. It's a gambler's worst nightmare, college,
yep.
Over time.
All right, so 3 for me. I'd go a different way and put Russell Wilson there.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, Russell, I didn't even think about that. See, again, I'm not,
I really think
line.
Russell Wilson's the third
he's
best
the next
quarterback in the NFL.
That makes sense to me.
I mean, he's got a Super Bowl ring. He's done everything that
he's my 5.
First anyone. So he's 3 for me. 4 for me, honestly, for next year, Dak Prescott.
Dak.
Okay. Makes sense. I mean, he's not as high for me. I think he's everyone does. Vegas does, whatever. I think he's a great quarterback. I think he will be great. There's going to be some regression. I don't know if he finishes top 5 like that.
It's tough to ask people to duplicate that. And if he does, then he's actually that good. It's basically
that'd
what
be wild. Then
I will. If he doesn't do that good next year, I'm not going to be like, oh, it was a fraud. Like, it's, no, it happens.
Yeah. So for me, it's I got
right here's down. Obviously, pretty correct.
I thought you had the word doc, man.
I'm stupid.
I can't really form a list. I can just basically just like more or less
just
judge your statements because I'm not really again in a football mindset right
understood.
Now.
Understood.
So I have Prescott 4. 5 is tough because there's a couple guys I would like to put there. I haven't listed Matt Ryan, so I guess he goes there. But like, does he really? Because before last year, everyone was like, fuck Matt Ryan. I think he was a big product of Kyle Shanahan's offense. Which
big
is why,
time.
If I was going to give you a fifth best quarterback in the NFL right now for next year, I'm going with Stafford.
The guy that I want to be.
I'll go with Roethlisberger. I forgot about that.
A guy that, again, like I will put in the fact is that I wouldn't be surprised if they end up having similar numbers for the rest of their careers is
uh-huh.
Jameis.
Yep.
Jameis was the guy who, when I watched, I saw him when I went his first game in college. I remember it was on a Labor Day. They played against Pitt. And I think he completed his first 11 passes. And I was like, this guy either doesn't know what he's throwing at to, or he actually thinks he can make these throws. And I started watching him, and I was like, this guy's got me, like, you know, freshman Jameis was just pretty fucking ridiculous. And I'm waiting for him, and he's got the, you know, the guy in Mike Evans to really help him make that happen, where I'm very curious to see how he looks this year. But I could give him – where I'm not saying he's going to be better than Luck. I'm just saying he's a guy that I'm very intrigued by. And after seeing Mariota and the Tennessee Titans offensive lineman chugging beers at the National Predators game, I want Mariota to be good all of a sudden,
right.
Even though I never was a huge Mariota guy. But then I started watching him a little bit. Like, there's a guy that hangs out at
Seaman. I feel like a lot of that's the undercurrent. That's, like, the subtle thing right now is, like, no, Mariota's about to have a good year.
Like, there's a guy that hangs out at CNS. CNS is the best place to watch football.
Or anywhere that has a few TVs and red zone.
We have our own section in the back that we have going. And, like, there's one guy that's a Titans fan there. And, like,
okay.
The thing with football fans is you get the jersey wearer, and then you, like, you'll have the hats, and then you, like, kind of mention something to him about his team, and you'll mention a player or something, and they won't have any idea what you're talking about. This guy's actually a legit Tennessee Titans fan that he actually, like, knows.
I grew up with a Tennessee Titans fan.
Like, so it's kind of cool. So, like, I don't, like, root against them actively if I have a bet against them, which I actually started watching them and liking them. So,
yep.
I'd like to see what Mariota does next year because, yeah, they're in the same division. They can sort that one out for themselves.
So, I had Stafford 6, Breeze 7. So, now there's three spots left in the top 10. We haven't named Derek Carr.
Ooh.
I haven't named Matt Ryan. I haven't named Cam Newton. I haven't named Eli Manning, Philip Rivers. So who were we saying was top 10? Andrew Luck? Does Luck fit in your top 10?
We're gonna. I got them all down. Hold on. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. He's 10.
All right, so I have Matt Ryan 8 because he just won MVP. Cam Newton, I got stick 9 because he won MVP.
From top down, I got Brady, Rodgers, Ryan, Breeze, Wilson, Rivers, Roethlisberger, Eli, Stafford, Luck.
You're an idiot. Why did you put Eli on there?
Dude, we're talking about who's about to have the best 2017. I think that
Eli
was
so bad last year.
Yeah, and the year before that, he was pretty good.
That's the thing with Eli Manning. You don't know what you're getting.
Yeah.
So that's why I can't trust him. Like,
he's not a top 10 quarterback. That's
okay,
all right,
even if you throw it down to Eli after I got – so, whatever. Brady Rodgers, Ryan, Breeze, Wilson, Rivers, Roethlisberger. I got Eli, Stafford, Luck, Carson, Cam Newton.
Carson,
how are you going to
put
Carson? Carson Palmer. Newton had a bad year last year.
Carson Palmer's not in this conversation.
No longer.
Was hurt last year though.
He's always going to be hurt. He's old. He's lost it. It's done.
I thought you were talking cumulative. Like these guys, like fantasy leaders, maybe next year.
I don't have Luck rated above Newton. I'm sorry. I certainly don't have him.
Right I'm with you actually on that.
My 10th
best is Derek Carr.
Newton has done it. Yeah,
that's always
the Luck thing is one that I always go, and
I'm not one of these guys, but I've always kind of thought that they were very similar type built players where Andrew Luck, like, they'll compare him to Cam Newton of size and athletic, and, you know, his, like, the way he did in the combine, but they make the same types of plays. Luck is, you know, plays on a bad team, and Cam was just being reckless and careless. I've always thought that nice little racial divide there. That's always been one that I've enjoyed, arguing with the Luck guys. If I mention Cam Newton's name in the same sentence.
Luck is a deceptive runner, too. He picks up a lot of yards on the ground. So my top 10 doesn't include Andrew Luck because I put Derek Carr ahead of him.
Jeez, I forgot about Derek Carr. I'm sorry. No, because he, for me, is he's above Rivers.
Because your last taste of the Raiders was not Derek Carr. That's why.
That's right. Yeah, he doesn't
look to McGuire or whatever.
And with Derek Carr, I have a little stubbornness is that he was somebody that I watched in college that I didn't get that feeling from. And then I've kind of grown with him. Like as like I've lost money betting it. Where I had the thing is, I have to start eventually. I have to lose some money on a bias before I start realizing this is stupid.
See,
you're being irrational about this.
They did the smart thing because they brought in Cooper and Crabtree to grow with Luck in Oakland. So as
with
Carr. So as Carr has gotten more experience, so too has Amari Cooper. So right now I have a top 10 that doesn't include Rivers. That doesn't include Luck. Doesn't include Andy Dalton. It doesn't include
Dalton line is the middle, right?
I thought Dalton was all right, but I
have guys that are
he's okay.
I don't have Eli. Like my point is, there's a lot of good quarterbacks, and that Andrew Luck's not a top 10 quarterback.
That's fine, and that's just okay. You know,
I don't think you have Luck in your top 10.
Just outside it.
That's the thing.
I just, again, it goes down to, it almost goes back to, like, with the Jeter stuff like that, where it's like, I hate having stuff force Fred down my throat, where, like, Andrew Luck was already, like, he was, I understand,
that's
as a prospect,
hate.
Prospects fail, but he was, like, already thrown into the conversation with those guys, where when it was Manning, Brady, Breeze, you know, he would go in there ahead of Roethlisberger sometimes, and he would go in there ahead of Rodgers as the fourth name, and I'm like, wait, what the, like, Colin Coward, the way that he talks about it, like, it's... Colin Coward fills a lot of his show in the NFL season defending Andrew Luck.
Of course.
And then I also love, too, that at one point last year... At one point last year, he was trying to make a Matthew Stafford, like, is better than Aaron Rodgers campaign, or the Aaron Rodgers, he was really starting to pull.
He was having a hell of a year.
He
that was
re-
wild.
Stafford's MVP campaign was...
That was pretty low.
He was
full strength for the first half of the season.
He was really, like, you know, like, kind of trying to, like, nitpick everything wrong with Rodgers, and then all of a sudden Rodgers went off in the last part of the season, and they ran the table and made the playoffs, and then, you know, made all
the
shit.
Run the table. I hated that.
And then
Rodgers bet on himself and succeeded.
It's but once he gets running hot, maybe that's that whole thing. Maybe he needs the. Do you remember? You guys might have been too young for this, but the Lions in like the '90s with Wade Fonts.
No,
that's a little before my time.
Okay,
first Lions quarterback I really remember.
There were some real gems there. There was like Scott Mitchell,
Achilles Smith.
This was like Rodney Pete, Scott Mitchell.
I remember
times.
Rodney Pete.
This was when Barry Sanders was playing.
Yep.
And they had this whole thing. Berman was
Herman
the one.
Moore, remember him?
Herman Moore, Brett Perriman. Yeah, I don't remember the
revolving door.
Yeah, there was another one. I forget.
Herman Moore's wide receiver.
But Herman Moore had the catch record for the longest time. Yeah. That was like insane. I think he's got 141, and then Harrison's got 142 or something,
yeah.
Or 144, whatever those are. But. They would always be like 4-7, and they always play on Thanksgiving, and it was always the whole like, oh, they Berman nicknamed the coach Wade Fonts Rasputin. Rasputin was the guy who, like, the Russian guy that they tried to kill and they couldn't, and they shot him and threw him in the river, and they found out he didn't die from the gunshots, died from drowning or whatever.
Pretty much the movie The Revenant.
Yeah, so his whole thing, they would always be 4-7, they would reel off a couple wins, and they always make the playoffs, and it's like, maybe they just need that whole thing to function best, and maybe Rodgers just really needs to have, because when they've been the front runners, they weren't the best. You know, like when the year they got beat by the Giants, when the year they were the best regular season, they had the one seed.
Oh, yeah. I remember.
Who's your all-time overrated quarterback through your entire life? Is it Troy Aikman?
You want to think about this?
No.
Take a quick break and pop right back?
No, we got to keep going. What are we
going
to do on our break?
Going.
There's no rules.
Okay, there's no rules.
We can film our break.
Most overrated of all time. Well, here's the one that I kind
of
go
of your lifetime.
Of my lifetime. The most overrated of my lifetime.
I feel like Aikman would be a good pick.
I thought that's who you'd say. I go with
Elway.
Really? Elway in my lifetime.
But here's the thing:
don't confuse
the term overrated with not great. But if we're gonna use the ring, because the ring thing was always really became the big thing with as far as valuing a quarterback, where he got put in there. So
didn't get him until
he had all
late.
The tools. I just remember thinking to myself, I understand rules were different back then, but Jake Plummer's first year playing quarterback in Denver broke the. Pretty much every single he broke the single season touchdown record. I realized John Elway never threw more than 27 touchdown passes in a regular season, and then he wins the Super Bowl with Terrell Davis. One of the biggest losses.
Great defense.
What could have been if Terrell Davis didn't blow out his knees with the type of that back he was?
Right.
He would have probably been he would have made Marshall Faulk seem pedestrian. The way that he played.
Take it easy. I worship at the altar.
Gary Kubiak too. That was a fun little wrinkle in that. Gary Kubiak became the offensive coordinator, kind of ran that offense, and ran his zone, did whatever, and he knew Elway and kind of got Elway there. Was that? I guess so. But he was
Elway's back.
Put his spin on it, and when he took over, did the same thing with Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning was the same story. I mean, Peyton Manning had won before, but he was split 37-38, declining, and all right, let's get you a run, give it a defense.
I guess as I've kind of come to realize is that this is, I mean, it makes sense to me is that like both with my way I thought about Jeter and most of my way about Elway is that. You get remembered for iconic plays. You don't get remembered for just steady,
Elway does have the drive.
He's got the drive. I'm saying.
The helicopter into the
outside. Yeah, and that being his parting shot. So, was being that
he
one.
He was smart to walk out on top, just like Matt Payton.
Well, no, actually, they won the Super Bowl the next year against the Falcons, but the Falcons had no chance in that game. But that being, his signature moment of getting his first ring. Because that was also a big deal, too, is that wasn't it the first
Elway
time?
Elway won. Two rings, right?
He won two, yeah. The first one was against the Packers. The Packers are big favorites. And if I'm not mistaken, that might have been the first Super Bowl of the AFC and won off the NFC in a very long time.
Because of the Niners and
Bills.
Yeah.
Well, just even going. I mean,
Yeah.
The 80s Giants, then you had the Niners. And, The Giants were doing really great then.
Niners, the Cowboys.
I mean, you look at the scores. The Super Bowl, like, for a long time, the Super Bowl game wasn't even really that good if you look through the scores. There's some ugly, ugly looking scores.
What's your favorite Super Bowl you've ever watched?
Favorite Super Bowl I've ever watched?
Mine just happened, so.
Mine happened 10 years ago.
Favorite for gambling reasons and just for overall just validation was watching the Seahawks beat the Broncos that year. And that was a favorite for all the wrong reasons. Favorite watch, I must say.
Best game you've ever watched. Super Bowl game you've ever watched. From a football standpoint.
It clicks in my head, or for some reason the first one's on, that's on there, and I know that somebody will bring up the one that's better that I'm probably forgetting, but I remember the Super Bowl between the Rams and the Titans.
That was a good
being
one.
Being a, like,
yard short.
It was one of those things where watching Steve McNair, like, Steve McNair was such a fun fucking quarterback to watch play, young Steve McNair.
Yeah.
Before he took all the beating and, you know, kind of, you know, wasn't the same guy. But when you're watching that drive down there, like, I mean, like, legitimately, like,
he's got, marching into the end zone.
Pass rushers, I mean, like, you hear the stories, like, pass rushers on the Rams are begging out of the game. Like, they're just so gassed. Trying to get him is he's just making stuff happen and just doing things. And
those are guys like Leonard Little was one of their pass rushers, if I recall.
Yeah,
he was the legend.
That's Kevin. The one that comes to mind. Like the
I think the best one was last year. I think my favorite one was
that was
when the Giants
for me. The best back and forth Super Bowl I ever watched.
No,
I honestly might say Panthers Patriots.
Actually,
great.
Actually,
game.
You know what I'll say? Actually, now that it clicks, I mean, we brought this up in the last Super Bowl. Things about that Arizona Pittsburgh.
That was a good
Super
one.
Bowl.
Colts Saints was pretty good. I thought.
I love that one too because I also made a killing on that one, and that was everyone loved the fucking
the surprise onside kick.
I told everybody I bet the Saints the under. And fucking everyone's like going, oh, I like the Colts. I like the over. And I was going, yeah, that's why I'm good at this and you're not.
Yeah.
And I remember actually like being drunk and actually calling up and making sure that they could hear I was betting more money on it just because I felt that more confidence. I made sure I was a real dickhead that Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah.
I did not make many friends at that party.
I believe it.
Patriots Seahawks was great.
One of the worst ones I saw
right.
was, I mean, obviously Broncos.
Well, this
Broncos,
is all the
Seahawks,
one you've done for me lately. That's why I brought
Bears, Colts. That was pretty
good.
You terrible.
Made the point that a lot of early Super Bowls were non-competitive.
Yes, and I mean, given
we've
your...
These are also Super Bowls that I watched.
Yeah, these, yeah, and I have a couple more years on you guys.
Right.
So
no, right.
That does enter the equation. But,
how old
the past,
were
like, 10 years.
I was Norwood. I was born in 85, so I was...
Eight-ish.
No.
Six or seven.
I don't remember watching that game.
Oh, okay.
I do remember watching some of the Redskins game.
Uh-huh.
And then I remember watching the Cowboys game and crying because I was actually a Bills fan at the time.
The Leon Laporte.
What's the game that made you most upset as a football fan?
That's a good question.
The one that, what for me was Jay Feeley,
oh,
I believe, missing four field goals. Again, Jeremy Shockey waving his helmet in the camera. Giants were just...
Because I watched this before
oh,
I was a
rough.
Patriots fan, so the Rams-Patriots Super Bowl. Because I was a Rams fan.
Gotcha.
Of non-significance, but just the moment that I saw my fandom just dwindle away. Because I actually, part of the reason I came out to this area was because I was actually a huge Bills fan. And that was part of my thing. Fucking freshman year.
You announced it, though.
Freshman year.
I'm
the
glad
Bills,
you had that behind you.
Freshman year, the Bills go out, they beat the Patriots 31-0. Next week, they beat the fucking Jacksonville Jaguars 38-17. We're going fucking crazy. They're playing the Dolphins on Sunday Night Football. And I remember my buddy, God rest his soul, fucking Dustin Sickles that passed away. I remember going to go to his dorm room because he was a fucking huge Dolphins Marinos fan. And I'm walking through the fucking quad, and every TV's got the game on the, you know, the street. So it's,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's like you hear the surround sound of, like, it's like the whole campus is like a stadium, an arena.
That's pretty sweet.
Like, it sounded like that. They're doing the it was a Takeo Spikes fucking interview going on before. And they went there and then watched the game and watched Ricky Williams just murder the Bills' soul by just – he had like a game where he had like 41 carries for 140 yards, where legitimately what that average yards per carry was every carry. Like just consistently running for about 4 yards or like, you know, like three – bouncing around those or getting the two, you know, getting 3 yards on third and two. Just soul – and the Bills' offense and Drew Bledsoe just looking so lethargic, and then just that walk back from the fucking – you know, just hearing just like a pin could drop anywhere – walking past people looking like, you know, like,
drunk people shuffling
like
their heads down
looking,
back to their car.
It was just such a that was a beginning moment where then by the time after that I got going. And
that was the one for you.
That was the one that started.
Did you renounce it then?
That was the one that started the moment. Then I started having the conversations with typical Bills fans that didn't really weren't very knowledgeable.
Stupid people.
And then I kind of started with the gambling too. With gambling, I started realizing I can't have any emotion. I can't have a favorite team.
You know, a game really bummed me out. It was the 2009 NFC Championship when Favre threw that pick against the Saints. I was a big Brett Favre fan growing up. I loved the guy.
I wanted to see that Viking team win that game for betting purposes because I was kind of tired of that Saints team a little bit. But I wanted to see the Manning Favre matchup because that was that year.
My
I think
dad's
it was actually
a Vikings fan, so they've gotten screwed over a lot in his lifetime, like the Gary Anderson missed kick, all those Super Bowls they lost him when he was like a kid.
I mean, they've also just had like they were one of those teams that obviously like it shows you if they have some character in your team. But you look at those rosters of teams that they had for a while. They were loaded with fucking
bro. Back when he was a kid, the Fearsome Force or not the Fearsome Force, the Purple People.
It's amazing, like because here's the thing is that they've had consistent legacies of being very very good and not winning anything, which I almost feel like is worse than the Bills, who in a lot of cases just weren't very good at all or didn't have like quite the. The level of
would
talent.
You rather be mediocre, like average bad, or spectacular bad?
It depends. Like I watch football with Bears fans, and like I said, like, you know, because the fact they've accepted for a while that they weren't that
they're
good.
Just average bad. They're like,
yeah, like
standard bad.
I guess you almost want somebody who like it, Cleveland Browns bad is it's got to have some kind of like moment of like a little bit of fun to it. Like,
see, when I said spectacular bad, I meant like Cowboys because.
Oh.
They always kind of manage to fuck up in the way that's just like remember the Tony Romo game?
Oh, that one. Spectacular bad.
Dez didn't catch it.
The fact that they probably have had
the toe tap with Jared Cook.
Yeah, those are. I can see what you mean by that. Yeah, the Cowboys really have had a bad run of luck there for a while.
They deserved it.
It's games, it's games where you just kind of look at it and you're like, wow, what in the fuck? You know?
It really makes you. The stuff that makes you think that there's a God, maybe.
See, that's one thing I love about the Cardinals too is that when they let me down, they let me down easy. In the fact that they're usually when they lose their final game of the season, it's not a close game. It's usually there. It's well established in the first or second inning. They're not going to win today.
That's good though.
So
it's
kind of
it's better that way.
You've coped with it by the end. Like it's not like the whole like where they have the false hope. Like okay, we can do
this. I've had a lot of heartbreaks as a Giants fan. Really, it's been a lot of like, oh yeah, we're not. This isn't going to go well. You know, it's not like they're in there like a
like you know
like
your
Peyton
team.
Manning. Peyton Manning fans probably experience a lot of that.
Like
a fucking tosser.
You know your stuff.
Later.
Which
yeah.
is you know like I mean like it's we were talking about this you know on the other pod like that you know the idea of you know like there being like the good dick day.
Oh yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It's like you know like it's like
yeah. Let's talk about
or a hair day. No, we're not going there. That's the bell. We're borrowing that. That's
I just had to say...
Thank you, True Hoops.
Let's just say I got into this conversation yesterday where I started comparing dick days to starting pitchers. Or, you know, compare your dick to a starting pitcher.
Dick Day does sound like a starting pitcher's name, though.
No. Could you imagine if there was a starting pitcher?
Back in the 70s? Yes.
Dick Day.
You played for the Padres.
If my pitcher was a pitcher... If my dick was a pitcher, you'd be years familiar or all the Stratman.
As I end up going on with
that, I'm
Greg Maddux. You know, like I'm not going to blow you away with my fastball, but I'm going to keep you off balance the entire time. I'm going to hit my spots. I'm going to change locations and speeds. Like I'm going to, you know, and it's gonna work out. You know, like,
remember
gonna,
that last little stretch for Kenny Rogers? Right,
yeah.
That's a rubber armed guy. If I remember it was. I picked Familia and Chapman because my dick's going to beat women. Yeah,
this isn't going to become a game.
That was hilarious.
Where I try to just ding the bell all the time. I used it as a gavel there. I'd like to use it in a lighter sense. That was great, though.
So, Scofield, let me get your opinion on the weather. We're the part of the year where it's still yoga pants weather, but it's also getting the sundress weather.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Sundresses and rompers, actually.
I don't like rompers.
No, I'm not a romper.
I don't mind them. I mean,
it's like a woman's
sundress
wearing like a featureless like burlap sack. What do you like?
Is that why you think it's taking you know catching cold with the guys
dude,
now?
Stop
I
catching
really,
on with men.
Dude, I really
oh,
don't. I really
I heard,
don't
like,
care.
I heard
it's like Russell Westbrook.
I like it all. As if you look good,
yeah.
You look good. I mean, yes, you're like I'm not going to control like you know. Like,
kind of goons are wearing that though.
Yeah, the male romper. I'm very worried. The first guy that walks into Barber's Grill with a male romper,
male romper, a spinner,
I'm kicking him out.
A vape, you know.
Let's not hate on the vape, okay?
Okay, no, but no,
I broke my vape.
It's
right
memory.
Now.
It's common. Yeah.
I'm vapeless right now. I haven't vaped in 3 days.
Oh,
right?
Wow.
And I'm still the same asshole. So it's not the
I'm
vape.
Totally
so are you yoga pants? Team yoga pants or team sundress?
This time of
they're
year,
they're never conflicting though.
This
like,
time
do you
year,
like winter or summer?
This time of year, the sundress because the sundress
yeah,
is.
Do you like summer or winter?
Because
summer.
The yoga pants with what for a top, where you'd always know what the top of a sundress is. So you can kind of get a glimpse of a little bit more, like during, for instance, during the wintertime, I like to have an undershirt on with my sweaters like that.
Yeah.
During the summertime, I always go with the wife beater and like the open collar where it's like,
I'm not
I'm exposing,
which one you'd rather wear.
No, I'm saying for so, but with the same
some
thing.
Chest,
with,
yeah.
I'm exposing some things so people see what they like there. Going, oh, like he's got a hairy chest there.
Summer
is
more revealing.
There.
That is true.
With theirs, you get to see a lot better. You get to see a lot better tit shape. You get
yep.
to see all that
tit
stuff.
Tit shape is important.
You get to see how their skin really, really looks.
The dress
actually,
is just a pretty. It's just a.
I like
the way
like,
that they're so light and it's
dresses.
Like it just flows in the wind and it's just summer and there's not much to it. You know,
wow,
I don't know.
That's
it's just
so gay.
Yeah.
No, there's no. I don't know.
Like my one girlfriend.
Everything you just said. Girls are gross.
My one girlfriend exclusively
girls
wore.
Are gross.
My one girlfriend exclusively wore fucking
cooties.
Dresses. It was fucking awesome. She either wore dresses or leggings with dresses.
Aw, oh, talk to me. Tell daddy about
oh,
it.
My
Tell
Lord.
Daddy what happened.
You too.
Show me on the dot.
No, that's a maybe off air we can discuss this. It was like always felt good. So like wow, like that would actually make me want to always get dressed up. Where like if I went out, we looked like actually fairly classy, which we were because we'd always PDA. But
yeah,
and that's one of my least favorite people in a bar is PDA guy.
Well, that's how yeah.
At the risk of sounding
what, oh, finding love in the club guy or a guy
no,
that really loves
well,
his girlfriend.
No,
there's nothing worse than being at a concert. I go to a lot of concerts in small venues.
We can touch on the bar.
Smelling someone getting fingered. Nothing fucking worse.
When you smell just the taint sweat.
Not that. Dude, you smell
just
the
that.
Clam.
Oh, you smell the clam, but I think the other way, too. There's just, I think,
I don't know,
it's hot and sweaty.
I'm not exactly sitting there, is that asshole I smell or clam?
No,
I just know the smell.
You, yeah. Okay.
I like a dog.
I understand. At
that,
the floor of some concerts?
Yeah, dude. It happens a lot. More than you think. Because everyone's like,
nah,
the kind of shows I go to, people indulge in recreational substances. Not myself.
Usually that. Ones that lead them to kind of
yeah.
more physical contact
and, then, you know, people,
engagement with
like,
another.
You can always kind of tell that people are getting like too comfortable, but then you smell it, man. You kind of give a look around.
Yeah.
See,
ugh.
Well, at least like for like you know, like, for barber's purposes, like for at least like Rockport purposes.
Yeah, bring it back.
Already like you know, part of Rockport. Like I like to do that because I find myself in that moment, which that's really what I've made the deal where you kind of like when you stand up close to a girl and then you actually get the face to face. And that's when you can kind of see whether or not she's really like, you know, like if she like if her face melts into you, that's when you get a little, you know, you go kiss there.
To lean in or to lean out.
And then you, it's just, there's a certain like I think going on there. And from what I've been told, I'm not trying to brag about that, I'm a really good kisser.
Ooh.
So that kind of gets.
All right, show me how far you can stick your tongue down that bottle.
No, Jesus.
How far can you stick your tongue down?
That doesn't have anything
right.
to do with it. That's how
good
of
a kisser you really are.
That doesn't have anything to do with it. But the whole thing is with that is that
yeah, where do you go? Where are you going
no,
with it?
Then it become okay. Hey, let's not do this in here. But I live.
Oh right,
you
right,
know
right.
That's
it,
the,
it's okay to engage, but at a certain point where it becomes like you know what's really
no. I got
next
what,
thing,
I,
the
I,
next
I,
next. Step.
Well, I've been yelled at on multiple occasions for it, like where like with girls that I'd already met that I like would hang out, have a few drinks, and just kind of like it would just start off as just somebody going to go like a little just like kiss on the lips, like how do you feel about that? You know, the happy couple that's just sitting there that just occasionally you know, leans in and like you know just a quick little peck.
Take that shit home.
I'm cool with it.
I mean, like, you know, that, like, then, like, with me, that always ends up turning into more of,
heavy petting.
As soon as you, like, bite a lip or, like, grab, do that thing with the fingers where you're grabbing onto something, you're like,
that's
all right, that's when it's like, okay, we've reached the capacity for this bar. Anything else would be slightly
because
inappropriate.
Sarah used to do that in fucking broad daylight.
If
fun,
I see
fun
you
making
mean,
out with a
not,
chick at Barber's, I'll let it go.
I've been yelled at by many.
Especially during the daytime. Earlier the better.
He can do what he wants.
Yeah.
I definitely turned
You can
off.
Definitely do it. I'm just saying.
What's
that's,
the oldest you've ever been when you went into Rocco's? Did you go to Rocco's after you graduated?
Oh, yeah. I bet well, they would
oh,
be.
God.
They would always
begin
be.
A bit regional.
They would always be for bad reasons. I'll just leave it at that.
How old were you the last time you went into Rocco's?
Fuck, what would have been maybe like 3 or 4 years ago.
Oh shit! So you were.
I went over there
right
with.
Past your
I was with Vince. Okay, that's all I'll say.
I was 22, probably.
I don't know.
For us, it was Canal Side.
But whatever.
Now this
what
is
do you
a,
think about the bar dynamic talk that we had the other day? Do you have anything that like you wanted to say when we were
yeah,
potting it up?
You're definitely
talking about the bar.
You're compared to Norm on this podcast from Cheers.
Yeah, was, hey, Schofield's at the bar. You're that guy. So like, he's a bouncer. I'm a bartender, and at our bar, which is just a pretty much just a straight line, fits 100 people. It's very tight.
And I'm pretty much the most probably. One of the most regular patients where I put in multiple shifts where, you know, we have the people that have their certain hours they log in.
Right.
I can be the daytime guy. I can be the
ooh, your utility.
I can be the evening guy.
Yeah,
I can also
yeah.
be the close it down. And sometimes I can be that guy all on the same day.
We need more guys like you. I think it's safe to say.
But
yeah.
the thing is that what I go on is that, you know, I like the Norm comparison because that is the thing where I kind of, you know, when I go in there, like, I'm happy to see you guys. And like, I like to think you guys are happy to see me because it's like,
oh,
okay.
Yeah. You bring fun. We bring services and fun, if we can.
Where I would have thought, like, okay, where it would have been nicer. I can't remember any things off the top of my head that I had any disagreements or perspective on, but just that would have been a good dynamic because you have that the patron as far as what goes on.
Yeah, so
there.
From your point of view, what's, I don't know, what are you picking up on? Like, what's, paint the picture of the bar, I guess. It's a pretty big
for the,
question,
the neighborhood setting is... you kind of start having the,
not just our bar, but dive bars in general, like, how they
bars,
work.
And you have, again, well, it's always going to be generally dive bars going to have their regular type crowd there, but it's always about just not bringing negative shit, you know, like kind of like, or just kind of like, you got to feel your crowds. I mean, like, there's different types of dive bars all around. Like, that's a, again, that one
a
has.
Sad dive.
Yeah, sad dive. Like, you know, sometimes you go to like VFWs, like, I mean, not saying that those are sad, but like, you know, like those like little things. And it's kind of just a bunch of people that are sitting there that aren't really engaged in conversation, or like they're really not.
They had a drink, looking down their
smartphone.
Like,
there's a place with all of the retired drunks, we'll call them, like where there's not like it's a bunch of old men that just sit there.
Let's cut the shit. We're here to get drunk.
Okay, like here's a different thing, a dynamic. This is another one. It's it can be
okay.
its own thing, and it also adds to bars is the bars with OTBs. Those are an interesting crowd themselves.
Those are, yeah,
the OTB people
it's
are
entirely
okay.
different than Quick Draw. It's like the next step.
Because this is where, you know, like, you can actually win some significant money on very small bets. Like, there's a culture of those bars, but I guess you could say that each place is going to have its own culture, whether or not you fit into it, where I'm not a, not that I have anything against the Stone Yard and their product. I love their products with that. It's just not a place I regularly hang out at.
It's a dinner place rather than a bar.
It's a type of place where my buffoonery, I'm not trying to it's nothing against them. I'm actually doing them a favor. Like, I've gone there a couple
your
times.
Your shenanigans are more welcome at Barber's, and it's not just a me thing. It's just the idea, just the kind of establishment that it is. There's some places that are a beer hall and a place where you can dine. And then there are places like ours, dive bars. Dive bars are where you go to drink and to have, hopefully, a good time. And, like, yeah, you're right. There are other kinds. And there's two or three people that are sad and drinking and not engaging and not... adding to
but
the
we don't judge them. We don't judge them.
Not,
see,
not
yeah.
even our place.
They're not
Like my favorite bar back home is one called The Ruck. And the thing about The Ruck is they've done a serious facelift. Like, it used to be rough looking on the outside too. And when you go inside, it's all wood. But it's the type of people. Like, it wasn't a dive bar that a lot of like people of our types hung out at. And that's kind of where it kind of goes with, like, I like those types of like not like, you know, clubs like. Like, you know, we went to the Jug the other night. It's a nice setting in there, but I can never make that my regular spot. It feels corporate, you know? It doesn't feel like
it
has,
it's
like,
too
any,
open.
Like,
it's too open. There's not enough. I mean, obviously, it was the end of the year, and that's kind of secluded and tucked
but,
away.
But, like, it just kind of seems like it's just too, like, it's more like it's part clubby. Like,
It doesn't have a clear idea what it's trying to do. You're right. It could be cocktail. It could be just loud music, fucking lights, and just slinging drinks, pools, and pool hall, and fucking jukebox,
like,
and darts, and just
I like the fact that when somebody walks into that bar, like, when I assume, like, that was the whole thing with the people that were out last Saturday. There are people I know that they're East Siders, or like, their whole attitude was that we got a party bus, we went out here because we wanted to go to a bunch of bars, we could just let our hair down and fucking, you know, we're coming here, you're not coming there for the fucking, the scenery, so to speak, of like, that it's the nicest looking place ever. You're coming there because there's a great staff, and you're coming there because you're going to get fucking, you want to get drunk. And you want to do it in, like, you know, like in like a.
Yeah, they're
like,
on Friday.
And you
want to
be with regular people.
Time.
Like, yes. I, if I see someone there walking, if I see someone walk into a suit into a place like that, I'm assuming that they just really want to have a good time.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not assuming that they're, you know, going to be snobby about it. It's not a place you want to be a snob. Like, so that's what I like about cultures of bars.
Yeah.
One thing I think you guys didn't touch on actually that just came to my mind was the kids in bars thing. It does as I just
I like
want.
It.
is I want to tell the people is I want to tell the people when if you're going to be discouraged by my behavior, I was a kid that got brought to the bar all the time. So,
definitely don't bring
your kids. So that's the thing that you know you don't.
Do you want your kid to be like me?
Like it's I'm not saying it's the only reason I am that way, but it could play a role in that I learned. Like
it's not too late.
I mean these are two things that how I got probably into the bar and gambling thing is that we have this place in Troy, the Emerald Club. Emerald Club is a very it's a secret society so to speak, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Not really, but you do need a key to get into the place. I'm a member there. I'm a family's of legacy members and whatnot. And it's one of those places where you pay like $35 for the year, and it's $2 Bud Lights and like $3 Jameson shots. And it's one of those places where if I go there to visit, I just get bubbled up constantly. But when I was a kid, my dad would take me down there after Little League practice because we'd go down there and he'd on Thursdays or games or whatever. He'd have to play his football sheets. He'd pick the spreads. He'd have to play that one. And then he would also – so I would sit there. I'd get to drink soda at the bar. And sit there around guys. And
there was an Onion article about this exact thing you're saying.
And people would ask me, hey Ryan, how many hits did you have? Just legitimately. So I felt like I was engaged.
You're already there, and it was just missing alcohol.
And then I would get to play one of the parlay cards, the ones like where you can pick up the 10 games. I get to play.
Glad we're finally getting here. This is the first time I've known you for a couple of years. And we're finally getting the genesis of Ryan Schofield.
Oh, and then the other thing is that family card games were a big deal. My uncle Lance got me into that with poker. Where, as I now know, we had a family vacation. We'd go out to Hampton Beach, New Hampshire, every year. And that was like the family card game was how we closed the night out. We rented these houses; they're all next to each other. My parents rented the biggest one. And family card games, and me and my uncle Lance would call the corporation. Where basically what would happen is when he was going off to go smoke joints,
yeah.
He would let me play the cards for him, and he would show me how he was playing cards while he was doing it. So I got.
Did he ever let you hit the joint?
Oh no, not till
that's good.
This is when I was 8 years old.
That's good. No, I'm just.
Oh, yeah.
I know. But you're gambling already.
Oh no. He was going off in private. That was kept away from me. So
that's good.
Yeah, no,
that is good. That's better though.
But yeah, that's where we got the drinking and the gambling. That's kind of how it got going there. And then also me and my buddy Brian Matthews, his dad, he's one of my best friends. His dad, that was when OTBs you physically had to bet it. They didn't even have phone a bet yet. And there was an OTB about a mile away from his house. And his dad would babysit us during the day. He made the greatest mac and cheese ever. God rest his soul, Butch. And he would always be bouncing around from the OTB to bet to go back to watch the race, to go back to bet another race.
Oh, man.
So going to Saratoga as a kid, too. Again, your parents would give you, $2 to bet with Ryan, pick a horse, And
so you were getting some hours in early, the whole 10,000 hours thing. You was really
it's part of the again
mastering the.
This has been from an early age, this is beyond 10,000 hours.
There's an idea for a TV show there. I don't know if you want to call it Young Sco or just.
What if we just had a TV show called Sco?
The Sco.
I mean, there's been the idea of
a caricature of your life that we just blow all this shit up and make it and change a lot of shit and just make it you were this. You can tell that backstory, kind of like a Ricky Bobby with cards, and then you're playing at the highest level, and then you get older, and
I don't want to watch that.
You start missing. It would be a movie, I think. That would be a comedy. A gambler just that hit it real young. He was just a champ, and then fell on hard times and came back, kind of like Balls of Fury.
Yeah, maybe we could go
get Christopher Walken in there.
Well, I did just quit my job recently.
I don't want to try to make this a real reality.
No. A lot of people lately, because I did the whole thing where I was sober for the month of March, and then at April, I started hitting it hard, and kind of made it for lost time kind of thing. And I
get him.
Started really doing that a lot. Where every time I get in touch with somebody, I have stories. Where someone's like, "Dude, why don't you just have a GoPro on?" You could probably edit this stuff.
I love that idea, and I've seen it executed pretty well,
actually.
I'm bringing
a GoPro to Camp Bisco this year on my head.
Have you seen GoPro videos of parties and get, people,
so
it's my night, hitting up, three or four bars and hitting up a couple parties during the day and just going around, having a good time, seeing a bunch of random, quirky, funny stuff. I have seen a couple of really good videos like that.
I our night out in Rochester last Wednesday was one of those nights where just enough random shit happens where, obviously there had to be some editing of certain, parts of the nights out, but, a lot of people are just blown away with it, but, no, it's, I'm an interesting, I like, if a lot of people tell me that I'm very interesting.
He's trying to hold hands.
But enough about myself. What else do you guys want to talk about here?
Do we have any sports? Do you care about any sports?
I think LeBron James has an itty dick. than Indiana and Audi.
Do you think if, like, LeBron left his kid at a park, would you think he did it on purpose? Or
if
do you
LeBron
think that
left
he
his kid at a park, I'd kidnap it.
Okay, but why do you think he would do so? Do you think he would do it because he was negligent or because he had some kind of passive-aggressive reasoning behind it?
Probably
because
he's passive douchebag asshole.
You don't think he'd be like Mel Gibson
and
Ransom? You don't think he would have the give me back my son yelling at the moment moments?
Give me back my son.
If he left his kid alone in a park, I would assume it's because Dwayne Wade told him to.
I have such fucking horrible allergies right now.
Yeah. The stuffiness? I don't know. Maybe that'll come across in time, but we can definitely hear you. We can understand.
Stuffiness
you're
in the dry
words.
Throat. I don't have the pride in my voice, where I was going to try and actually really do the Mel Gibson give me back my son, and I'm like, it's just not.
Might have sounded weird.
I'm not bringing my A game. My voice is not having a good dick day. My voice is not having
a good voice.
It's not a good voice day. You know, this is like, you know, if I was a woman, like woman bad voice days, that's phone sex voice days is really what it is. So
right,
it's like,
all right.
We don't even have any sports today, do we?
Yo, were you ever, were you,
yeah, it's a passive pass.
Were you ever around, did you ever, ever, because again, you're a little bit younger than me, with the idea that we're actually calling, did you ever call a phone sex number?
By the time I would have done that, I had access to the internet.
Okay.
That was the age of E-bombs world when I was like 10, 11, 12, 13. Like,
we used to go to fucking payphones and literally call. I remember it was like 1-900-WET-TITS, where we never actually have money, but you could hear a recording of like them talking, and that would be like the whole like, all right, test.
Was it funny, or was it hot and cool and new and weird?
It was all of the above. It was all of the above. Prank phone calling. Were you guys ever a big fan of that?
Oh, yeah. Like I said, E-Bombs World, Newgrounds, and Black Sheep, Albino.
No,
Black
I'm
Sheep.
Saying, did you guys ever do it yourselves?
Yes,
okay.
Yes. We adopted the kind of method for my friend group. There was a bunch of soundboards that were of, like, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger or Jack Nicholson, and you'd go in there, who's your daddy and what does he do? And be like, hello, who is this? And
what was the worst prank call you ever did?
I can't remember.
Okay. I can tell you one that was just hilarious and
Let's
one
go.
That was actually probably like really fucked up.
Potentially
illegal. I'll tell you the one that I was there for, the other one I wasn't there for.
Right.
But this one I was there for.
It's a prank, bro. It's cool.
It was,
you know?
After, I want to say, we discovered this thing, dialpad.com. Dialpad.com was a 1-800 number. It was free and it would use your modem, but it never traced back to your phone number, or at least I'm sure like deeper channels could have done for police purposes, for innocent prank phone calls like that, I doubt it. And my one buddy who was older, I think he might have even graduated from high school like that. No, he was a senior. Kurt. He was a black dude. He had a fucking really nice, like, deep adult voice.
Yeah.
We called our buddy Mulliker, who's another lacrosse player,
okay,
from my buddy's house that discovered the scam up. And he called and said he was the principal and said that exam we had just taken. It was like
the guy with the voice.
We just taken it. He's like, we just wanted to call you that, you know, and let you know that your son Jeremy, you know, he's failed his English, you know, 10 hours, like English exam, and wanted to start going. Like, we've had some concerns, you know, and started, it's like kind of going off a little rant a little bit. His mom was totally buying it. And
was your kid named Jeremy?
It's that, yes.
Wow.
Yes. He's like, you know,
no way.
The kid was named Jeremy. Yeah, my buddy Jeremy Mulker.
Oh no, I thought you were. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, this was an actual, like, friend.
No, that was playing. I thought you were just calling somebody. Like,
no,
oh, your kid failed. Like, oh.
No, this was our friend's family.
That's great.
Calling. So we called this, and then eventually my buddy goes, we're like, you sit there, like, trying not to, like, hold and laugh, and all of a sudden he's going, yeah, we also found some bruises on his body. That's what we really want to talk about here.
Dude.
And that's when she realizes, wait a second, this isn't, you know, she, like, you know, like, it's...
This isn't right.
That's when she realized it's a prank phone call, because there's all the laughter going on in the background. And like, she's like, wait, what was that noise in the bed? Maybe he's like, oh, I was on. His reply was going, oh, I was on my car phone. She's like, let me call you back in your office. That's what she says. And he says, he's like, well, I'm actually on a car phone. That was the noise in the background. I'm breaking it in right now. And that was when they just ran too far. We hung the phone.
Yeah. That's crazy. Took it too far, man. You got anything, Bill, on your chest? Ideas, hot takes, movies.
How long we have for recording?
We've got an hour 10 here, pretty much.
Hour 10?
That might be it, boys.
You guys want to close it out? Was that a good story to end the
day? I think we could get a little more going here.
Hit me with something. I got nothing.
Hit me with something. Where's that thing?
There it is. It's a once-a-week show, so
do
yeah,
you want,
we'll
do you want like me to give you a discussion prompt here?
Be a discussion prompt, or
I
do you want to discuss?
Everyone has a discussion prompt.
There's nothing good? You're just trying to come up with something here.
Let me get a little inspiration here.
Yeah, play a little inspiration. I can't wait.
Hey, if you hear this deep, you'll give us a minute here.
Pretty soon
we're
going to be out here every
idea.
Wednesday because we have softball games.
That's a lot of inspiration.
I'm going to be playing at Cobbs Hill every Wednesday. So any local listeners here, if you want to meet Sko, the man himself, and watch his athletic prowess.
Our pod has actually turned a little regional. I'm cool with it. Like, come up with, like, anecdotal stories from us, but, like, I feel like we're...
It reaches around.
Not but.
But I mean,
yeah.
People
get it.
To an extent, it's a different... I feel like it's a different lifestyle in certain areas.
Schofield, what's your go-to pickup line?
I don't have a go-to pickup line.
Damn.
Like, or here's my go-to, here's two lines I always find, or one line I always find when it was trying to recycle in. My idea of a fantasy is probably your idea of a felony. If I can work that one
That's
in.
That's nice.
That's nice.
If I can work that one in, like, because at that point I built up enough rapport that I feel like it's okay.
Right.
Because I've already told enough, like,
bust
horrible
it out when
jokes.
It's safe.
I'm literally at the point right now where I'm, like, screening people by telling terrible jokes. Like, I've told that cat joke to quite a few girls that I've talked to, and if they're freaked out by it, then yeah, this isn't going to be somewhere you want to go.
I should tell them.
Okay,
that
I got
one. If she ain't 180.
I got one here.
Yeah.
How about the classic wake up in a hotel room, no
dead
idea cop. What happened last night, dead prostitute, cocaine, blood everywhere.
I call my buddy Fat Pat.
Fat Pat, huh?
What do you think he does? Is he like the wolf from Pulp Fiction?
Fat Pat's the guy I want in every fucking situation of that nature. I've been he's the one that takes control. Have I told you about the movie Very
no
Bad
idea
Things?
What happened.
Have you ever seen the movie Very Bad Things?
No.
It's okay. It's
Schofield, what are you capable of?
What am I capable of? Not as much as you would probably. I don't know. Like, you don't know what you're capable of until you're put in a situation you have nothing to do. I'm not going to be someone that's going to really put us in that situation.
I'd probably make the bed to start.
But
as a coping mechanism, I kind of just sit there and like, oh, fuck.
If something happens, the first thing I'm redoing is I'm calling Fat Pat. And Fat Pat will then fucking guide me. He's just the one that is... If he comes up to visit me at any point this summer, everyone that's met him, he's the character. And I only refer to him as that name, but yes. I call him and then he instructs me from there.
Jim, what are you capable of?
In that situation?
Just in general. What are you capable of?
I don't know. It depends the circumstances around me. Do you paint a picture?
No.
But no, in that situation, I don't know. I really don't know. I would probably rack my brain for somebody like that to call. Somebody I know that might have an idea. But I really think, like, I was like, I didn't kill a prostitute last night. Is this my room? These are all important. I think that's a great prime to jump.
There's
off
a movie called Very Bad Things, and that's the run joke of it. Where, like, we started making the whole thing that he has the same. That's the same scenario. There's a bachelor party, and it ends up with a dead hooker, and then it becomes this whole other melee that goes on there. It's like a really good dark comedy. There's a lot of good people in it. Like Christian Slater's in it, Cameron Diaz is in it, Jon Favreau, Daniel Stern, Jeremy Piven, and so it's got a pretty good cast. It's a very dark comedy the way it goes. And we just started identifying my buddy Pat with that character because that's the whole scenario is that we have a dead hooker on our hands. What do we do? And he's the one that sees his
control. Is there a right answer? It sounds like a riddle almost, you know?
Do you rather fuck a live animal or a dead person?
Do I have to answer?
No, don't stop the recording.